I want to talk to you this morning about something that I think is extremely relevant. It may not be obviously relevant when you're speaking to an audience at a church building, because many of the things you're going to say probably fit people that aren't here, particularly people that used to be but aren't anymore. I've lived and worked in Monroe County for over 20 years, and in those 20-some years, I witnessed a lot of people come and go in churches. Now, in some cases, they passed away or moved away, but in far too many cases, they just drifted away. And I've often observed that if you could get every baptized believer in Monroe County to church one Sunday morning, our buildings would be full all over the county. You know that's true, and I know that's true, and it's not just the ones who drifted away, but with them they usually take their families. Particularly, they rob their children and grandchildren of that opportunity, and it just breaks your heart. So it may not be relevant to them because they're not here to hear it today, but maybe it can become relevant to them as I share it with you, and it helps you to reach out to them. But it's also relevant to you because it would not shock me. I hope it's not true, but it would not shock me that there were those in the audience this morning who have given thought to drifting away, who have taken the time at least to consider what it would be like if you just quit coming. Lots of different things can precipitate that. A lot of things can cause that. But be that as it may, it's just almost impossible in an audience this side that there's not someone contemplating whether they're going to stick it out or not. If you're one of those people, I want to talk to you today. And if you're among those people that reach out to folks like that, I want to encourage you today. Because there are some things that people who are leaving the Lord or considering leaving the Lord need to hear. Some things that need to be said to them in kindness, in love, or as Paul said, in meekness, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, that we need to be aware of. The parable of the prodigal son is the third of three parables Jesus tells in Luke 15. The first one involves a sheep that strays away. The second one involves a coin that's just simply misplaced. But the third involves someone who decides to leave. It's the one that breaks our hearts because we all know a prodigal son. In our families, there probably are some prodigals. Some who have drifted away from the teachings and the values they were raised to embrace. And it breaks our hearts. And we cry about it, and we pray about it, and we do what we can to encourage. But there are some things we need to be aware of if we're thinking about slipping away ourselves. Number one, your condition is a matter of grave concern to God. Whether you come to church or not affects me. It affects others in the congregation. But nobody is more affected by it other than yourself, than God Himself. We mentioned in the Bible class this morning the idea of grieving not the Holy Spirit. And mentioned that at its bottom line, that just simply meant, don't break God's heart anymore. Nothing breaks God's heart more than one refusing the gospel or departing from the gospel. Your condition is a matter of grave concern to God. Whether you are faithful or not matters to Him. You matter to Him. He cares. And He wants what's best for you, and He knows this is where you'll find it. How many agonizing nights the father in that prodigal son parable must have spent wondering how his boy was doing, worried about the influences and experiences he would encounter outside of home, knowing that where he was, he did not have the support system that he would have had at home and in familiar surroundings. You and I don't just come to church. We are the church. And we don't just sit and worship. We do that, and through that we praise God and strengthen one another. And it breaks God's heart when we leave, when we vanish from the fellowship. But not only is your decision or condition a matter of grave concern to God, you're hurting yourself. You are depriving yourself of spiritual health. We all experience hurts, some of them inflicted by others, more often than not self-inflicted. Bad choices, dumb decisions. Sometimes we just make a mess of things. And church is a place for healing. It's a place for kind of getting our feet back on the ground and realizing that a mistake doesn't have to be fatal and that a dumb choice doesn't have to haunt us forever. That those things can be forgiven, that we can be embraced by a loving family and help each other get to heaven. But we give all of that up if we vanish. We give all of that up. We throw all of that away. Your spiritual nature cannot survive if you don't feed it. Your absence from church diminishes and weakens you. You will always be less away from the fellowship than you can would be if you were here and active in it. But if you're contemplating falling away, thirdly, you need to remember that your talents and abilities will be wasted. God has been so good to us in so many ways. He's given each of us some kind of talent that's allowed us to make it through life, to get work, to build a family, to have a home. He's given us some kind of talent that's allowed us not just to exist, but compared to the rest of the world, to prosper. He's asked that those talents be used to His glory as well as to our improvement, but they lie wasted and dormant if we leave the church behind and do not use them to the glory of God. The Lord takes that seriously. Reread Matthew 25 about those three men that God had blessed with varying levels of ability, and how that two of them faithfully took what the Lord had given them and worked with it and brought Him profit and glory, while one took what he was able to do and buried it and brought the Lord much consternation, and if you were in class this morning, you'll appreciate this, anger. We waste our talents. We throw our abilities away if we walk away from the Lord and they aren't used to the glory of the one who gave them to us. But fourthly, you are letting your influence work against all of those things you once embraced. When I was baptized into Christ May 20th of 1963, I confessed my deep-rooted belief that Jesus was indeed the Christ, that He was indeed the Son of the living God, and that He would be my Savior. And I made a commitment to Him that day to live faithfully to Him throughout my life. I did not commit to Him to live perfectly, because I know I can't do that. But I did commit to Him to live faithfully. And with His help, for the most part, I've spent the last 50-some years honoring that commitment. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but even if you don't intend it to, if you turn your back to the Lord and walk away, your example says to all who know you, to all who have observed your life from obedience forward, that God may be safely ignored. And He doesn't really matter enough to walk hand in hand with. That's especially tragic when the people who get that message from the choice you make to leave are people you love and want the best for. If you choose to leave, you also need to keep in mind that others need you, and you need them. As we make our way down the western slope of life, we touch a lot of people. And for the most part, in touching those people, they are enriched and we are enriched. There's something about the building of relationships that is mutually beneficial. If the relationships are what they ought to be, it's kind of like Jesus with the apostles. Jesus could not have accomplished in 3 years everything that he accomplished if he hadn't had those 12 men dividing up and going through villages that he didn't have enough time to get around to. He needed them. And they needed him. They were like sheep without shepherds. There was something inside of them that said to them, you ought to be this. But there was something else inside of them that says, I don't know how to be that. Church, scripture and study, fellowship, provide mutual benefits for every member. We need that mutual encouragement of one another living the Christian life, encouraging and strengthening one of them or another. One of the blessings of my life that I treasure most is knowing that in McConnellsville, Ohio, there are 85 members of the church who will pray for me if I ask them to. That I can tell them I'm struggling with this or that, and they'll bend over backwards to try to help. One time Jesus said, you may have to give up some things for me. They may seem like things too important to give up. It may cost you your mom or dad. It may cost you your brother or your sister. It may cost you your son or your daughter. I had an aunt whose clothes were on the porch the very night she obeyed the gospel because her mom was not going to have a Carmelite living under her roof. It may cost. But Jesus said, you'll receive 100-fold over in what you receive. By your absence from church, you deprive others of the encouragement you could give them. And you deprive yourself of the strength which they could share with you. And if you're a parent or a grandparent or a guardian, you need to know that you can do eternal damage to those children under your care and leadership if you decide to walk away. When I was a young man, I used to drink some. When my wife found out she was pregnant, I told her, I said, I cannot decide whether my children will drink or not, but I can decide whether they'll ever see me do it or not. I made a decision that day to never taste another drop, and I haven't. I knew instinctively that the choices I make influence those I love the most. Jesus once said, fear not him who is able to kill the body, but fear him who is able to kill the soul. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If you had it within your power to keep your child from going to hell, wouldn't you do it? If you had it within your power to keep your grandchild from losing his or her soul, wouldn't you do it? What could keep you from standing between them and being lost? And yet, folks, every week, people like us decide to leave the one place that gives us the best hedge against it. So many parents work and worry and scrape and save to give their children every advantage in life. They are concerned to provide the very best of of material needs they can provide to their children, but then turn right around and don't give a second thought to their souls. In comparison with eternity, this life is brief and shadowy. It's soon over. What then? What good's a football when Jesus says it's time for judgment? What good are pom-poms? What good's a college degree? What good is anything that you've embraced and involved yourself in after you left God? If it costs you your soul, and if it costs you the souls of your grandchildren and children as well. I used to say that for me, the worst part of hell, if I would end up there, would have to be that nagging admission that I didn't have to be there. But I've been wrong all those years. The worst part of hell to me would be to look and see someone I loved who never had a chance to get to know the Lord because I chose to leave the Lord. Who never had a chance to grow and develop. There are children growing up in Monroe County in homes of men and women who obeyed the gospel early in their lives that will never see the inside of this building. Except for a wedding or a funeral. Brethren, sisters, don't be those parents. Don't ever condemn your children by the choices you make. For a parent to be concerned only about the needs of a child today, or giving no thought to eternity, is a form of spiritual abuse. And I know how you all feel about child abuse. Surely, those you love deserve better than that. And finally, you need to know that your separation from God may become a permanent one. Not everyone who becomes unfaithful stays unfaithful. God's a good God. 2 Peter 3:9 still says he doesn't, promise things and not keep his word. He said he's not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Today exists because there are still people God wants to give another chance to. And if tomorrow we wake up, it's the same reason. And the day after, and the day after. God is good. He hasn't given up on us yet. But right after saying that, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come. In other words, it's not going to last forever. You may be fortunate enough to drift away and still have the time and opportunity to come back. But you may not. And then it becomes permanent. When that young boy was in the field slopping hogs and realized that even servants had it better than he had it, he said, I'm going home. How thankful he can be he made it. How sad it is that not everybody does. There are always those we talk with and study with about their souls who say, sometime. But sometime never comes. And the day for which all other days are made will certainly come. Don't let your separation from God be a permanent one. Don't even risk it by falling away. You're a good group of people, a common commitment to a common Lord, to common goals. You've chosen at some point in your life to look beyond today into forever. And you've said through your faith and repentance and confession and baptism, I want to be with God forever. But only you can honor that. No one else can honor it for you. Don't give up. When Winston Churchill was asked to deliver a speech to some of the brightest young men in a school in England, he stood with that stubby old guitar or cigar in front of him, and he took it out of his mouth and knocked the ashes off of it and looked over the audience and said, "Never, never, never give up." That's our charge. To be faithful unto death, that we might receive a crown of righteousness. To fight a good fight, to finish our course, to keep the faith. To be true to a commitment we made at some point in our lives, so that we can escape the plaguery of turning our backs and walking away. I believe with all of my heart that there are not enough devils in hell to drag a one of us out of God's arms. But I also believe with all of my heart that we can turn and walk away from God anytime we choose to. He won't keep us against our will, but nor can He reward us if our will turns against Him. If you've drifted away, come home. We'll pray with you today. If you can tell God from the heart you're sorry, He'll forgive you for that and act like it never happened. Come home. Come back. And if you're tottering on the brink, just think for a minute what it's going to cost you. Get a copy of this lesson. Play it back at home. And say, "That's too high a price to pay to be free of a commitment I made to the Lord." And if you're here and you've yet to make that commitment, let us baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might rise to walk in newness of life. The choice is yours. Choose wisely while we stand and while we sing.